This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. As usual, numerous things going on to drive you absolutely crazy. That's what we're here for. Well, you know, when we start talking about the truth and everything that goes on out here in the American scene, so to speak, it can get a little bit dicey now, can it? And you know it can be. Anyway, so welcome aboard. Like I said, we've got just a ton of things to cover here in a very short period of time, but that's okay. We are professional. We can pull all the bells and levers and gizmos around and make it all happen, which we do make it happen. By the way, if you want to call in, we're opening up the lines. It's a free-for-all Friday, so to speak. And the call-in numbers is 215-867-8255. And you can call in and give us what you think is going to be your best bottom dollar, so to speak. Bottom dollar, there you go. That's all you need is a bottom dollar, right? You bottom dwellers out there, it's amazing what, in fact, we would produce for you, huh? I'm sort of sitting here trying to figure out where are all on my... Oh, here we go. You know, when you have to do it yourself, you better be prepared to do it yourself. Anyway, so we got the phone lines are now open. Yes, they are, so you can call in. And that number is 215-867-8255. You can call in right now, and we are ready to go. And we'll get you all set up for all the different calls and all the things that go along with it. Okay, so we've been doing a case study. We talked about Donald Trump and what's going on there. We talked about him being kind of eager to utilize the Insurrection Act after all. Remember, there was some confluences and conflictions going on at the time of the great riots, I guess you could say, trying to take over Washington, D.C. last month. And could he actually use the Insurrection Act? Did he want to? And, of course, the generals in the Pentagon came out and said, oh, no, you can't do that. We aren't going to do that. I mean, they kind of they basically ignored the orders of the president, which was kind of interesting. I wonder how that's going to all play out. You know, Donald Trump in his second term is going to clean – he is going to clean certain places out forever and alter government as we know it in an even bigger – not this 4 years has been nothing more than the disruptive 4 years. In spite of the Democrats and their antics to try and get rid of him, he is he's managed to really leave this country much better off than it was before. Now, wait a minute. You got the COVID virus. You got the burning up of the economy. Our culture is changing because this is, this is a wedge issue. When you want to destroy a country like ours, you destroy all elements of it, including the cultures. So we've talked about athleticism and how athletics plays a big role in what we do in the United States. It's quite a cultural experience, everybody, in terms of athletics and performance and in the media and things like that. Of course, we're really getting out of control with the media that we had before. And, of course, the media is all changed. And by the way, where are all these Hollywood elites, right? You don't hear too much about them anymore. It's shocking, I know, but it's true. You just don't. Why don't we have all this information about all these different media types that are out there? I don't understand it. Do you? They're just not showing up for the dance. Well, I use that sort of a misleading statement. Where are they? You haven't heard the Hollywood types out there maligning the president very much. No, they don't seem to be. They just don't seem to be showing up to the party. To the party. Parlez-vous français? Right. Oh, there's a new parlay. Parlay, you know, is a social group that's out there. Everybody seems to like it. I've signed up. I have a Parlay account. I haven't used it yet. I mean, every time you get one of these new apps and new programs, it's like you have to restructure your mind all over the place. You find yourself in this never-ending restructuring of your mind mentally to run these little gizmos, right? And then you're confronted with this swirling little thing in the middle of your screen, like going, wait a minute. It's very frustrating. But I guess there's this new social program out there called Parlay, like Parlez-vous français? En français. Oui, oui. Madame. Mademoiselle. Whatever you want to call her. Anyway, this is going to be one of the new ones that's out there. I guess Trump and other folks are trying to, like I said, I signed up for it. It was very, very easy. I want something easy and user-friendly. I don't find Facebook at all to be user-friendly. I just don't. I just don't find it to be user-friendly. I think that Facebook is quite complicated. Well, it's just, once you kind of get it down, but it has so many different steps, and one step needs to happen here before that step, and the other step needs to happen before this and that step. Oh, by the way, go back and fix this step because you didn't fix that step. You know, it's very, very confusing. So I look for programs that have great ease. You know, there's a lot. We do sound, of course. We do radio shows, and we have to edit things and stuff. There's some really fantastic edit programs out there. And then there are those that are just that'll pull your brain apart to try and figure out and think, wow, I'll get there. It just takes so much time. That's the thing about programming. You have to have these things that are going to be very, very easy to follow. But anyway, looking at the tea leaves going forward, the president himself, and we picked up in hour two, actually the end of hour one, before we had Chris Street on, and we talked about the probability of a new vice presidential candidate. Now, my understanding is that Christine Gnomes is going to be tapped to be the vice president in lieu of Michael Pence. Michael Pence will go on to another job. He will. He will go on to another job within the administration of Donald J. Trump. And I think he'll enjoy that, actually. I think it's something he probably wants. But what looks like Christine Gnomes, in my opinion, now, she's the determinant. I am not. I don't think Donald Trump is, as was explained to me. She is the determinant. as to whether or not she is going to accept the position. Now, we will be playing for you what I think was her tryout. After the break, we're going to go to the break. We're going to be playing for you what I think was her tryout speech for the position of vice president. Well, yeah, we'll talk about her running as vice president, not Michael Pence. It'll be Trump and Gnomes. Chrissy, she's a sharp lady. She is absolutely a sharp, sharp lady. And she gave a speech that was just over the top on July 3rd, which was the night that they were up there at Mount Rushmore. She kind of really gave that, I mean, really belted it out. So I'm going to play that for you. I think I am. I got this all queued up for the other day, and we were traveling. We traveled an extra day, the more than we wanted to, so I didn't get a chance to pull it up and do it the right way like I wanted to. So we're now going to try it right now and see if we can't get this thing up. Anyway, this will be Kristi Gnomes when you come back, and what's going to happen there is that she's going to give you her speech, and you're going to say, "Wow!" At least I did when I was listening to it. I was going, "This looks really interesting." So, see, that's what piqued my interest, her speech. Actually, she has piqued my interest for a while because people in South Dakota that I know who just absolutely rage about her, just love her to death. And some of these guys are older than me, going, "She's just fabulous." And she's a fairly young girl. Yeah, well, vis-a-vis me. Yeah, listen, you could have the first female vice president, which could lead to the first female president with Donald J. Trump. We'll be back.
Send it out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that possibly pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a Romp Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Off this evening's events, and you guys were just absolute rock stars in helping us get it accomplished. It is so good to be with all of you tonight. I just appreciate you coming and helping us celebrate our Independence Day. We have been working since before I was even sworn in as governor to get to this night tonight. When we had the ticket system set up, we had over 125,000 people sign up in a three-day period to get to be one of the 7,500 people that are sitting here tonight in these seats for this celebration. Congratulations to all of you that are here in place. You know, whether you're visiting one of our largest cities or our smaller towns, South Dakota is a state that prides itself on the close-knit nature of our communities. Tonight, if you look to your left, if you look to your right, you're going to see that this crowd isn't just from South Dakota, but it's from everywhere across this nation. We just appreciate you coming, and we know that this is a celebration. Across America these last several weeks, we have been witnessing a very troubling situation unfold. In real time, we are watching an organized, coordinated campaign to remove and eliminate all references to our nation's founding and many other points in our history. You know, rather than looking to the past to help improve our future, some are trying to wipe away the lessons of history, lessons that we should be teaching to our children and to our grandchildren. This approach focuses exclusively on our forefathers' flaws, but it fails to capitalize on the opportunity to learn from their virtues. Make no mistake, this is being done deliberately to discredit America's founding principles by discrediting the individuals who formed them so that America can be remade into a different political image. Tonight I want to invite you all and those around the country watching. The founding generation has important things to tell us about America's past, its present, and its future. Remember, our independence was the result of many stars aligning, including a unique assembly of powerful writers, gifted thinkers, and tremendous generals. And don't forget, they were supported by a simple citizen army that defeated the world's most powerful empire. Against all odds and incredible struggle, we can find examples of perseverance, dedication, and commitment to certain fundamental truths. These men did not stage a revolt against the Kingdom of Great Britain for personal gain or for personal power. They did it because they knew they had to in order to defend their rights to live, work, and worship as they saw fit. You know, following the British defeat, we could have had a king, but instead, we had a man who walked away from his position as commander-in-chief, and then he also walked away from the presidency. These examples, like so many others, rarely make the cut when looking back on their lives, but they undoubtedly serve as an illustration of all that Americans should emulate. Now, towards this effort, the signers of the Declaration of Independence pledged their lives and their sacred honor. The Declaration is arguably one of the most important statements of purpose ever written. Not just because it serves as a justification for our independence to the entire world, but also because it has led to our prosperity and inspired many other nations and peoples to seek freedom. These words are not remembered nearly enough today. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let us never forget, especially today, that our government Let us never forget that today, that our government has the power that it does because the people have consented to it. We have consented specifically to a government that will serve all of us equally and that it will protect and uphold the fundamental rights enumerated by our Constitution. It is our duty to renew our commitment to these ideals and to pass them on to those who come after us. These ideals cannot be dismissed as the irrelevant opinions of flawed men. Our founders had their flaws, certainly, but to use those flaws to condemn their ideals is unjust and self-defeating. How many of us have lived up to our own ideals? Without the words, the ideals, and the sacrifices of these few, the world would not have a ringing example of true freedom. We can speak and write, worship, work, defend ourselves, and even protest as we see fit because of these men and their ideals. To attempt to cancel the founding generation is an attempt to cancel our own freedoms. The rich and beautiful lands on which many of us live and in which we're now standing today are the result of men and women searching for more. At times, especially today, it seems like we're often paralyzed by the present and we're defeatist about the future. Our country was founded by dissidents and people seeking to make a better life for themselves and for their children. People all over the world continue to flock to America today. The simple reason is that it is our commitment to the ideals that were laid out by our forefathers. The struggle to maintain the Union was about the proposition that America must live up to the principles articulated in the Declaration. And America's rebirth allowed a fuller realization of the fundamental purposes of government articulated in the Declaration. In 1862, a simple question was put before Congress. Can we do better? Our choice was clear. We could either nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope on earth. The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just, a way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud. The men and women who built this country envisioned an America that would project a positive influence throughout the world, to spread the values of the rule of law, optimism, and liberty to places that had not known them. They also took on the mission of protecting the natural wonders of the West, something all of us sitting here tonight can be thankful for. In particular, I think many of us, especially those of us that are on the political front lines, would be wise to remember. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with the cold and timid souls who neither knew victory or defeat. Boy, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more appropriate quote to guide leaders today. Leadership requires wisdom, a will to act, and the confidence to stand up for what's right. Our love for America and our commitment to stand for the principles that make America unique deserves to be applauded. We honor these men and women for their contributions, their leadership, all the positive things that they represent, the things that make America unique and call us to live up to our promises. This Independence Day, let us be grateful that we have such words and such examples to follow, and that others were willing to sacrifice so much to create a land in which liberty and law can be protected. Let us not destroy history. Let us learn from it by preserving and imitating what is good about it. We are all committed to a country where any person, regardless of their standing at birth, can make anything of themselves. This applied to me. I was just a farm kid. Now I'm the first female governor of South Dakota. But it applies to everyone else too. Let us, like our founding fathers, pledge our own lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor to the cause of liberty and self-government, so that we may continue to have the freedom to follow our conscience, to build our lives, and to live in peace. Now, I want to introduce someone who understands precisely what it means to brave the dangers of the arena. Someone who strives valiantly, who knows great enthusiasms, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and who has firmly and repeatedly stated his commitment to place Americans, American liberty, American safety, and the American Constitution before anything else. I am talking, of course, about President Donald Trump. Mr. President, Mr. President, welcome to South Dakota, and thank you. Thank you for your efforts to bring this beautiful celebration of American independence, history, and liberty to fruition. Thank you for your efforts to remind the American people that they provide the consent of the governed on which the legitimate government depends. Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald Trump.
Well, that was Kristi Noem. What do you think? What do you think of Kristi Noem? I got Julie on the line. Let's see what Julie, are you with us?
False narratives. Well, take a look at this.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hang on a second. Let me.
Media was pushing false narratives.
It's a wonderful thing if that could take place and happen. If she would take the place of
Mike Pence,
that we've sadly become tired of. His alliance with Fauci and Birx has diminished him. It's unfortunate, but it would be very nice to have that opening.
Yeah, I was just, I'm not going to bash on Pence. He's served very well. I know people want to they want to jump on Pence about various this, that's, and the others. And of course, you know, he's standing in the shadow of someone like Donald Trump, so that's a little bit difficult for him. But I think he's served well. Here's the deal: I'm always looking ahead because I think that's the most important thing that we can do. If we can have a Kristi Noem, and again, this is all. You know, I was told this information earlier, and they said, you have to shut up about this. Okay. So I've shut up, and now today's the day.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, well, the potential is very exciting. But
so depressed.
So I've been kind of like excited to tell this story, but, you know, not being able to do that. But anyway, so now I have to do it because actually I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I was gone on traveling. But so today, you know, I'm rolling this thing out, and I know that the text messages and emails and so on I'm generating right now, people are just kind of going crazy. But this is what I do know, and what I do know is today is the day that her time is up to make a decision. So I don't know if it's going to play out. It could be nothing. We're just doing a nothing. But I think that the oomph and the push, especially by, I call it her tryout speech last week, I thought was just incredible. And that's what caught me. And so I started really nosing around because I've known about the, you know, the Pence situation for quite some time, and I've known names and stuff. And I, so I pressed this name further because of what I was watching in South Dakota with her for a while. But now, of course, we're sort of at the end of that range. We don't know what's going to happen. We just, it's, I guess, speculation, but I'd like to see it happen. And like I was saying, I'm looking forward after Donald Trump's time in office. I don't think
that's
Pence is the guy to take.
Everybody's starting to think about what are we going to do when when it's all ended?
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, if something would ever happen to him health-wise, we would be totally devastated because he's been our rock and soul of hope in America. And we need to have something to look forward beyond that. Otherwise, we're just going to fall apart.
Well, I don't see anybody else who could step into the position as a vice president and then take it further after Donald Trump leaves office than somebody like a Kristi Noem. I think she's young, she's bright, she's intelligent, she's clearly, you know, she spent many years in Congress already. She knows how Washington acts, and she's served on a number of different committees, and she was actually doing work and producing things. And then she's now got the mantle there of governor of, South Dakota, and she's done a fantastic job in the short period of time she's been there. But everybody's galvanized around her in South Dakota. But I think it'd be a good choice going forward for Donald Trump to do that. I know that they listen, so I'm just pleading the case for Kristi Noem.
It's funny from a woman's perspective, the way that I look at it, and they always say, well, you need to have a woman for president. It's not a matter of having a woman or a man. It's a matter of having somebody strong.
Right.
And we're used to having a male in that position. And I am not reliant on a woman because she will become frail. She physically just doesn't have the strength as a man. Men are built to be titans. And they may be fine for a few hours, but then what happens in the middle of the night when they get a phone call? Are they going to just turn off the light and pretend they didn't hear the phone? Or what's going to happen? We knew that if Hillary Clinton would have been in the White House, the lights would have gone dark at dusk, and you would be out of luck until the next morning,
yeah.
Right?
That's right. That's right. Listen, Julie, I want to thank you for calling. We got some more callers. They're stacking up. I've told you this is a great time. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, wireless caller. I think this is Dane. Dane, go ahead.
Paul, can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, Paul, a couple of things. I wanted to say a quick acknowledgement of Kristi Noem. I'm still here in South Dakota. I'm going to be here right through the Sturgis bike rally. And the place, it's hard to leave. But she is an incredible governor. I had a chance to talk to her personally. And the conversation I had with it was I was talking to a family member or a friend. It was she's a humble person, just a wonderful woman and a governor. And, God, I was honored to have a chance to meet her. Second of all, I wanted to say something here. If I can give a... just a quick acknowledgement, if your listeners, Paul, can go to YouTube and go to Old Glory. It's a video. It'll inspire people, I think, to see that no matter who you are, if you're a person that's living on $956 Social Security and you took a stimulus check and you had a dream of putting the world's largest American flag in 4th of July and having President Trump see it, it can be done. But I hope people have a chance to go and see this video. It's on YouTube. It's Old Glory. Just go YouTube, Old Glory. You can find it. And if they find some kindness in their heart, I hope they'll go to our website, our GoFundMe page, which is Old Glory, Raising Old Glory, Raising Old Glory, GoFundMe. And, gosh, if you give a dollar, we would appreciate it. It was quite an expensive experience to put the thing on, but we did it. We pulled it off literally at the 11th hour. That flag was unfurled, the world's largest American flag, at 11 o'clock, an hour before 4th of July. So we celebrated the birthday with an extraordinary event. It was just wonderful. We had veterans, service people, and just patriots. And third, but not last, Paul, I want to say that when you have your convention, 7th convention coming up here in September, I am lining up some incredible people to come to them. I don't want to give their names yet because they haven't confirmed, but I'll just tell you this, Paul. New California State's going to happen, and it's not going to be able to stop it. Number one, because I'm going to help like I've done from the start, and I think that this is its time. It's time because we know what's happening out there. We're in a just absolutely crisis point in our nation, and New California will be the 51st state of the United States, and it couldn't come at a more opportune time because California not only will save New California State, will not only save California as the 51st state, it will also save this nation. So I'm looking forward to being there, Paul, and get ready for some incredible people to come, speakers, and it's going to be one of the greatest conventions to date. Like I said last time, it's Lucky 7, and in Fresno there at the convention center, I have thousands and thousands of people that want to come. In fact, Bikers for Trump want to come. South Dakota militia men want to come, and we should be one of the safest conventions ever and one of the most exciting ones.
Yeah. Well, listen, Dave, thanks a lot. I know I got a chance to look at the video that happened. I guess you laid the whole thing out for a while. It took a couple hundred men to get that thing up there, didn't it?
Over 500. Over 500.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube. The latest version is Old Glory on YouTube. Just go Old Glory YouTube, and you'll come up with it. It's something that'll motivate the country that someone like myself, who's on limited funds, as you know, can make this happen. Anybody can do anything. And it's inspired because of President Trump. This president has inspired me, and he's always inspired me. And we have to support him, and I think we're going to get support from him for New California State to make it a reality come true.
Oh,
it
yeah.
will happen. It's going to happen, and it's happening sooner rather than later, like you said.
Yeah,
and
you know, some of the people don't understand that to get the types of speakers and so on, and I'm not going to lay out the speakers yet. Monday we'll have some announcements on who's going to be speaking. People are going to be blown away.
Yeah.
To getting the caliber of speakers, you know, we have to work pretty hard to get them. But some of these speakers, you know, they're pretty close to the president, and you know, quite frankly, they don't come here unless they got the nod of the president. You know, that's something that people
exactly.
don't understand, that he's not going to say, "Hey, put yourself out there for New California," if he doesn't believe in what's going on. That's just my instinct, but you know, I have some, you know, my contacts tell me that, so. I have to, but the proof is in the pudding because Mike Huckabee was there, you know, at the last convention, at convention number 6. And, you know, when it was interesting when he sat down at the table and we talked quite a bit, it was a very interesting conversation he and I had about the New California situation. It was very telling. You, if you see this speech and you go on about it, you know, you watch his speech, we have it up on YouTube, if you go on about it. You can see he's very schooled in what New California is all about. And he mentions that New California, you know, it will happen soon. That's the quote. And now we see that, you know, his prophecy, you know, because, again, he has a thorough understanding about New California. It was very telling to me because when I started to talk and we went back and forth, and it was like he just knew everything in my head about New California. And as being a governor, you know, he's in a very unique situation, especially as a governor. He had to turn it around and clean it up after Clinton. A lot of people don't understand that. It's in the state of Arkansas. So he's been there, done that many, many times over. But he knows how to reconstruct and build a state government, which is one of the unique qualities that Mike Huckabee has. A lot of people don't understand that. But you had a fairly well-devastated Arkansas after Bill Clinton. And he came in and just restructured it and rebuilt it in the whole nine yards. But it was very obvious to him when I had the opportunity to talk to him there and other places that he is all for the New California movement and he wants to see it happen. And that's one of the reasons he consented to come out, because he does believe in it. And I'm so thrilled that someone of a level of a Mike Huckabee would pay such attention to New California. But then, after that, we had this announcement by Steve Bannon. You know, if people are out there and have any doubt about what's going on with the New California movement, we have a like movement, as you know, because you helped to bring about the one in Nevada with Robert Thomas. That the New Nevada movement is ongoing. We also have New Illinois. That's ongoing. We have a startup that's going to happen in New York. And I say, if you guys get your act together, you will have a state in no time. And then, of course, the other one is Illinois. We talked about that when there's going to be a new Oregon. Yeah, these are the things that are happening that people don't know about, and we don't really, you know, go crazy about it. But Steve Bannon, he caught wind of this. And, of course, what he did is he gathered up all 95 of our grievances from New California, and then he got a hold of our Declaration of Independence, and now he has used our Founding Fathers' principles based upon the model of New California to want to free the Chinese and create the new China State Federation. And on June 24th, he rolled this out. He read a Declaration of Independence, very similar to what we would have done or what we did on January 15th, 2018. He rolled it out in New York Harbor with the in the background, the Statue of Liberty. And as you know, to the Chinese people, the Statue of Liberty means freedom, liberty, and independence, American style. So now he's got the Hong Kongers and he's got the Taiwanese, and he's trying to free 1.5 billion people in China utilizing what we have brought forward in New California. That's a pretty big statement, I think. And if anybody doubts what we're doing, I think when you take a look at it like I look at it, there's no doubt that we're going to become a new state, and that's going to be happening pretty soon. Listen, Dan, I got to run for time. Get a quick comment.
Okay. Real quick, Sturgis is a town of 6,000. It will swell at August 7th through 16th to 800,000. They're expecting to 1 million people. I will have a booth here with New California. Every single one of them I'm going to make sure knows about New California and come join us. And it's going to be a spectacular event. And this is historic, what you're doing. It's going to be a reality. And all the people I'm proud to say will be part of it who have joined from the start, it's going to happen. Period.
Yep. All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Stay safe.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. Welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. Your topic, please. Hello? Are you there? Hello, hello. Okay. There we go. Are you there yet? No? Okay. Well, we're going to go on. Anyway, you can call in if you want to. The telephone number is 215-867-8255 if you want to call in. That's 215-867-8255. 8255 is actually Top Talk. 867-8255 is Top Talk. Just the way you play with the numbers and the digits, if you know what I mean. So anyway, yeah, this is a pretty exciting stuff that's going on right now with New California, and certainly some of the things that were happening there in Sturgis, which is going to happen. You have a question for us here on Agenda 21 Radio or a comment? Well, let's see if we can go to... Oh, okay. Didn't get that one. All right. Hello? Are you there? Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
And hi, this is Donna.
Okay, what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I want to talk about the state auditing. They're auditing me of 2016. I can't believe it that Betty Yee could spend over billions of dollars, but they're going over little tax problems. And... do you really think that a person has to pay it back that fast when they have billions of dollars debt?
Well, you see, this is the conundrum the state puts itself in. And it's called the lack of credibility conundrum. You see, because yes. What's the old saying? It's, it's good for you, it's not good for me. or if it's not good for me, if it's good for you, it's not good for me, so I can take advantage of it. I can't remember the exact term. I know somebody's going to text it to me, so please do. I'm struggling with this one. But anyway, this is the conundrum of credibility that the state finds us in, and this is the true crisis of whether or not this is a viable government altogether in California, because here's Betty Yee. She's trying to audit you for 2016. And I'm just going to throw this out here as a theoretical. Let's say you've made a mistake on your taxes. She wants to audit you. And let's say you owe them $1 million in the audit process. That's their claim. And you're going to go back and you're going to get an attorney's and you're going to whittle it down. And there's going to be a settlement. Right? Now, all along, right, you know, they've got an $85 billion deficit right now. That's what they have right now. And you know that. And you also know that they're in default of filing the proper forms to the federal government to be a viable entity, literally, financial entity. And they can't get out of the default land because if they start actually producing the documents, the deliverables that are supposed to happen there so that they can get out of default, they're going to find fraud. So they're not going to give you those documents and produce them. They're just going to stay in the state of craziness where they cannot get a loan, because if they produce the document, then the rating agencies like Moody's are going to see the flaw and downgrade them, so they won't get any loans anyway. So they're in this conundrum of not being able to produce the proper reports, like the FAFRA report. California is the only one out of 50 states that has not produced them and is currently in default for the report. They just got out of default for the last one. They were supposed to report that one. So they have no credibility. And as people start to hear more about this, and again, I don't know if you're listening to the radio show, we had Chris Street on at the beginning of the second hour, talking about the San Jose Mercury newspaper article about over 2 million people have not been given their federal unemployment money. Well, you know, that's a problem because that's the money that the federal government, $10 billion worth that the federal government gave the state, and the state has not paid the people the money they're supposed to get because they're using that money for other things, which is illegal. Now, that's a problem for you as a taxpayer, and let's say you have that $1 million debt hanging over there, and you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, you're asking me for $1 million when you've got $85 billion owing out there, and you're failing to produce the proper reports. How in the world should I even remotely work with you? See, that leads to the ultimate failure of government, and you're not the only one she's auditing, right, you think?
Right. I'm sure I'm not, you know. I'm sure they're probably now going through all 2016, and if you put on a little thing that, you know, padded a little bit, they're going after you.
Yeah. Well, and again, what they think is they've got if you think about this, they've got 40 million people technically, and of that, let's say you've got maybe 20 million people, half of that are paying into the tax system. If they can go and recapture money from those people, that's cash flow to them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's the similar type of things that's going on right now with Gavin Newsom as the dictator. And you know he's a dictator. It's pretty obvious. As the dictator who's putting out his henchmen, he's got 10 divisions of government going out there, like health and welfare and the barbers and cosmetology and the highway patrol and others that are going after businesses. And, you know, it seems to me the businesses I talked to on I did a little survey on the trip down there, and also in Orange County, that many of the businesses, it seems like if they're not wearing their masks and if they're not doing social distancing and so on, then they get fined $10,000. That seems to be the money that they're throwing around out there. You can imagine if you have, you know, 100,000 businesses and everybody's having to pay $10,000 apiece, that's starting to turn into multiple millions. See, they view that as cash flow. It's called extortion by any other term. But they view that as cash flow to the state of California, as they would view any money they recoup from you as cash flow as well. So that's what they're doing to you. They're squeezing.
Well, they're going to have to wait till I have it.
Well, that's the idea. They're saying, you know, everybody's going to have to wait until they have it. And they have it, but they've spent it on something else. That doesn't make you feel good, does it?
No.
What if you were...
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. No, what was your name again?
Donna. I saw you over in Orange County.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. That was a great meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of people there, too. I really appreciate you being there. And, gosh, you know, we're going to be down again in Orange County. I think there's going to be a much larger crowd. Anyway, thanks, Donna, for being with us. It's Donna from Orange County checking in to see what's going on. And, yeah, we had a great time down there in Orange County. And it was really, I mean, really hit it out of the park. It's interesting. I was talking to some people on the way down, on the way back up yesterday on the phone, and talking about when you get new Californians together, they're all the same kind of people. You know, I mean, it crosses racial, ethnic, but new Californians are clearly a group upon themselves. There's no question about it. You can go from Modoc County to San Diego to Imperial to Los Angeles to any of the other ones up there. And you can see this for yourself when you come to the town halls and that sort of thing. If you go to ncs51.com, that's ncs51.com. That's the new website, and we're putting up all the new information up there, and we're still loading things into it. I mean, it's a massive project, and if you want to sign up and become part of New California, we encourage you to go to the sign-up forms that are on the ncs51.com website, because that's really a great place to get engaged, put your county in there, tell us where you're from, and we'll be sorting it out. And we really are in a very big position right now to be negotiating with the state of California. Especially, see, we negotiate with the legislature, and the problem in California is that the legislature has now been bifurcated and is no longer a part of the three branches of government. Because, you know, if you are to be in good standing as one of the branches of government, you have to have co-equal power among the three branches. So if one branch does not have power in the three co-equal branches, it drops off. And in other words, there's no power, there's no influence, there's nothing that one of those branches of government can do, then they become irrelevant to the whole governing process. And of course, that's what's happened in California. The state legislature right now is completely disassociated from the other two branches of government. So right now we have technically a judiciary and an executive, but the reality check is that the judiciary is very, very friendly with the executive. So now you have a true dictator. If the Republican form of government, which is representative government, is not being represented at the governmental level as one of those three co-equal branches, then you have a dictatorship. That's just that simple. And that's, of course, what we've been able to see. When Gavin Newsom, on March 4th of this year, signed the executive order for him to assume powers because of the emergency by the COVID virus, he assumed all power over the legislators. That's what that was about. And he can continue that. The original law said that he can only do that for 60 days. But in 2015, the legislature changed it to be indefinite until there was a resolution, a resolution that had been passed by the Assembly and Senate. Of course, that didn't happen. But that did not happen. So now we have this dictatorship that's up. And I don't know when that's going to end, but I know one thing. New California is rocking. And New California is fast going to become the new 51st state. Definitely by January. I'm talking about that. Our negotiations with the legislature, that branch of government that's no longer a part of California, they can come work with us in New California. We'll create the new state. That's a pretty simple solution, isn't it? kick them out and work with New California. Thanks for listening and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
Cindy Dow and SOS. To the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.